Daybreak, Chapter 10, Part 3. The scarred mare's entire body spasmed as she came awake. She lifted her head, ears swiveling at full alert. Her heart raced, pressing against her ribcage. She was lying on a plush purple sofa, facing a fainting couch and a lounge chair. Her body was wrapped in a warm fuzzy blanket. Her wounds had been redressed, and her aches were gone. The room had a high domed ceiling. The dome itself was made up of panels that alternated between windows and what appeared to be gold. Pillars of marble and limestone reached upward, and the floor nearby was carpeted. But outside the small seating area, it was tiled. The air was warm and humid. The mare looked over at the back of the couch to find a large pool dug into the middle of the floor. At the far side, a pink stallion with a long purple mane lifted out of the water.
"Oh, good," he said. "You're awake."
The mare squinted at him as he pulled himself from the pool. Water rushed down his toned muscular sides, making puddles around his hooves. He flipped a towel over his shoulders and dried his mane.
"You fought that serum surprisingly well. Most ponies would have succumbed instantly."
The scarred mare scowled.
"Where hast thou taken me?"
"Oh, I love your pre-founding speech pattern. It's so quaint."
Viscount Dulcimer walked towards her, running his hooves through his mane. He tied it in a tight ponytail that tapered at the end.
"It's like looking at a living, breathing piece of the past."
He reclined on his fainting couch.
"However, I would prefer it if he showed me proper respect. We're going to be business partners, after all."
The scarred mare's eyes narrowed.
"Thou can see farther into the future than I? What partnership have I with my captor?"
"I'm sorry about that."
Dulcimer ran the towel over his flank. He then smoothed down his coat behind it.
"However, it was kidnapping you or wasting dozens of my security detail against you. You don't seem like the sort to negotiate."
"What makes thou believe that I will negotiate now?"
"Because there is nothing to fear here."
He shrugged and gestured around the room.
"Open air, nearby windows, complete isolation. Just you, me, and the pool."
She flicked her ears around. She couldn't hear so much as another pony's breath.
"I ask again, where have you taken me?"
"The Blue Blood Estate, on the west side of Canter Mountain."
Viscount Dulcimer smiled.
"You needn't worry about discovery, though. Blue Blood himself rarely visits, preferring a suite at the castle. For all intents and purposes, this is the manor of Viscount Dulcimer."
She narrowed her eyes to dangerous slits.
"For what purpose hast thou brought me here?"
"Well, you threw the proverbial wrench into my plans."
He let the damp towel slide to the ground. He rested his chin in his hooves and nestled into the fainting couch's high back.
"I have a goal in mind, Miss... what should I call you?"
Her ears flicked.
"Hurricane."
"Miss Hurricane."
He smirked.
"My goal is the throne. Blueblood's throne."
She sneered.
"You can dismiss it all you want, but it's my life's work."
Dulcimer rubbed his beard.
"As Viscount, I am second only to Blueblood when it comes to his property and political pull. With him gone, I would be his regent."
He looked right into Hurricane's eyes.
"I had hoped to get rid of him and take his place, and I was hoping a good old-fashioned courtship with Twilight Sparkle might amount to something even greater. You can understand my initial disappointment."
Hurricane's muscles tensed.
"Dost thou desire retribution?"
"I thought about it."
A pail of ice appeared from behind the couch, followed by two crystal glasses.
"With you dead, I certainly wouldn't have to worry about Princess Twilight being a target. My plans could go off without a hitch." Then it hit me.
He poured them each a glass.
"I was thinking too small."
Hurricane shook her head slowly.
"Art thou familiar with the term delusions of grandeur?"
"You think I'm deluded?"
He passed her a glass of bubbling liquid from across the seating area. She slipped a hoof from the blanket to take it.
"I would have been wrong about my assumptions, or unable to meet them. As it stands, my goal was very much in reach. Until you happened."
Hurricane ran her hoof along the rim of the glass. She brought the damp hoof to her mouth and touched her tongue against it. Tasting no trace of poison, she threw it back.
"But like I said before, it opened up a whole new door."
Dulcimer took a sip. He stretched his back, flexing his muscles in the process.
"I thought you might be a good hire."
"Thou wish to hire me?"
Hurricane's ear bent down.
"Thou wish to hire me?"
"Do you know how rare a thing it is to find an assassin willingly go after the princesses, much less succeed?"
He leaned a hoof over the side of the couch and ran it along the carpet.
"You have two princesses under your belt. Even if they're still alive, that's insane that you even got close to them. You've got something special, Hurricane. Something very special indeed."
"My skills, my abilities, and my life is not to be bought."
Hurricane clicked her teeth with a growl.
"What makes thou think that I would assist thou in anything?"
"Well, Because some poisons come in two parts.
Dulcimer downed the last of his glass as Hurricane froze. He studied her wide-eyed expression for a moment.
Oh, don't be alarmed,
he said.
The wine is perfectly safe. It's just the second ingredient that you have to watch out for.
He poured them both a second glass, and she set it on the ground.
What is the second ingredient?
He tapped his chin.
I'll tell you, if you agree to hear me out.
Hurricane clicked her tongue. She picked up the glass and guzzled it.
Speak your piece.
Cinnamon,
he said.
You're lying.
Would you like to test that theory?
Hurricane rolled her eyes.
No. No, stop wasting our time.
Dulcimer crossed his forelegs.
I want you to kill Blue Blood.
What's stopping you from doing it?
A number of things.
Dulcimer sighed.
I've tried to do it myself, but I've been thwarted too many times. The others are starting to catch on. I've tried to hire assassins, but they're a little wary of going after the princess's nephew. So, I need an expert.
He filled her cup again.
If you agree, I will outfit you with anything that you need. Armor, weapons, intel, troops for my personal security detail.
He tilted his head.
And you'll have access to all of them when you inevitably go after Princess Luna.
He turned her head away, and he chuckled.
Oh, come on. It's not exactly a secret. Admit it. She's a target somewhere down the list.
Hurricane lowered her eyebrows.
You would be willing to help slay the last being who can raise the sun?
There's still Cadence. She lives in the Crystal Empire far from here.
He grinned, with two rows of perfect teeth.
I figure if we ever get down to our last alicorn, we can start training unicorns in earnest.
But why would you-
Once Luna's dead, who was next in line for the Equestrian Throne?
Hurricane grimaced.
With Miyamori Kadenza in the Empire. Blue Blood.
Dulcimer swished his glass around.
Ah, the pieces come together nicely, don't you think?
That were truly delusional.
Dulcimer gave her a cocky smile.
I thought we'd move past the ancient syntax.
Hurricane pulled the blanket up to her neck, purposefully leaving the glass of wine on the ground.
I give respect to those who deserve it, Dulcimer.
Come on,
Dulcimer said. He flexed a foreleg.
Don't tell me I wouldn't cut a dashing figure as the Prince of Canterlot.
Hurricane scrunched up her muzzle. She examined him from tail tip to ears, her gray eyes scanning over every inch of him.
Thou art soft.
Dulcimer's smile disappeared without a trace, and he furrowed his brow.
Are you calling me flabby?
Thou art fit.
Hurricane turned her nose up.
However, thou hast the look of one who strengthens his body for sport. Carefully sculpted clay shaped with a carver's tool. Thou art soft.
Dulcimer's mouth was a thin line with a slight curve at the end.
As opposed to?
Hurricane's posture shifted. She sat up, her back straight and her chin high.
The body of a warrior, forged in fire and beaten into shape. One that holds the strength required to survive.
Dulcimer nodded in an understanding sort of way.
And what does that look like?
Hurricane met his eyes. A small smile touched her face. She stood up and let the blanket slide off of her back. She spread her wings, revealing sleek sinew and muscle on her torso and legs. That and the scars. Lines traced along her flanks, back and neck. Parts in her pale blue coat and remnants of large gashes, epic battles, and forgotten wounds were on her. And none of it even came close to matching the gruesome scar on her cheek.
The strength of the warrior, Dulcimer.
She said.
That, not politics, not money, not insider information, is true power.
Viscount Dulcimer raised his glass.
That's as impressive as I've been led to believe. As are you.
Hurricane stepped down from the couch and raised her own glass. She drank deep and walked across the seating area, a slight sway in her hips.
And thou art full of surprises of thine own, art thou not?
I like to keep myself well-rounded, well-read.
He watched as she set her glass beside the ice pail. She circled around the fainting couch, but not before flicking his nose with the tip of her tail.
I always have at least one more secret to tell.
She leaned over the high back of the couch. She ran her hooves over her shoulders and rubbed his chest from behind.
Then perhaps thou shalt appreciate my secrets.
Her right foreleg tightened around his neck while the other grasped the side of his head. She twisted his head slightly, just enough for him to know that she could continue the rest of the way at any time. She then hissed in his ear.
Such as which the two of us holds the real power here.
He blew a gurgling breath through his mouth.
Thou art nothing compared to me.
Hurricane lifted him into a seated position.
Thy paltry plans are weak imitations of the true future of Equestria. Thou art living a farce. Tell me, Dulcimer, who amongst us has any power?
She never let go of his neck, but the next second, she saw herself lying on her back, battered and bruised, every muscle aching. She tried to sit up, but was pressed down by a hoof to the throat. One blackened eye squinted.
I have an answer to that,
Dulcimer said. His horn glowed with the after effects of a spell.
But our Q&A session just timed out. You can agree to work with me, or you can fade into the obscurity when they find your body washed up at the base of Cantor Mountain.
Oh, that dastard!
Dulcimer closed his eyes and leaned harder on her neck.
You know, this could have been a nice meeting between two close business partners. This is your own fault. So, are you with me?
Hurricane ground her teeth.
I...
Oh, excellent. All in all, not a bad meeting.
He smiled as he helped her up. She then slumped against the sofa.
We should do this again sometime, see if it doesn't end up different.
She clutched at her chest, which felt like she had been repeatedly kicked in the ribs.
We should.
Alright, I'll admit, I thought Dulcimer and Hurricane were gonna romance it out a bit, but I should have realized that Dulcimer, he may be a romantic type, but not Hurricane. She doesn't seem like that type. Anyways, let's get on to our very lovely donators. Top donators: TacoCat598, Peter Coldhard, Jay Tinman, Darkside, Gauntlet, and Only One Thing. Zar630, Strix, Raiden, Narwhals, Black Moonheart, Drake Love Dragon, Pastel Skies, Magazine, CrazyKiller557, Dospo, Madman Stan, Delta Omega, Jack Edge, RuneScythe9852, Hunter Norman, Stephen Bingham, Dash of Evergreen, Rhiney Dragonwolf, Ponyman, Tal Rasha, The Toilet Snake, Sword Brother and Mordred, Ryan Wandering, Random Person Man Guy, Easy, Sky Uchiha, Leslie Prickett, Jordan Peterson, CrimsonKitsune9, Lightskin, Monster Kitty, Needs a Life, Milan Bjehenek, and many more wonderful people. Thank you all very much for watching this video, and live life to the fullest.